Well, thank you for finding us on a Thursday evening, and a rainy Thursday evening it is. This is Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're busy being a fruity dude, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
And that means it's time to bring in our towel-toting tamarin. Some say he kayaks down frozen rivers, and others say he can find a buried nut faster than a hungry squirrel. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
You know, that's what they said about me in Montana. I can find a buried nut faster than a hungry squirrel. It's true. I did actually find the buried nuts faster than the hungry squirrels. But you know, I also want to, another fact I want to share is that we appreciate the support of our patrons. This is actually a true fact. We do appreciate all of you guys who are listening and supporting us. Even if you're not supporting us through Patreon, just the fact that you're downloading this podcast and listening to us, we really appreciate that. And of course, if you're listening live tonight, awesome. All right. If you want to know more about supporting this show, click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website.
Yes, yes, please do. And now for something completely different.
Caching in the Northwest Geocaching Podcast presents The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching, Episode 1, The Demuglification. The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching has this to say about geocaching itself.
Geocaching. Geocaching is big. I mean, really, really big. So big, in fact, that this hobby, pastime, or addiction is actively engaged in across the entire planet, unbeknownst to the majority of the planet's inhabitants. We'll call that majority of inhabitants ants, largely because that's what they are. While ants frequently are inhabitants of geocaches and the pant legs of geocachers, they are not currently officially noted as having logged a single find on a geocache. This is a shame, as it would likely provide a huge number of favorite points to geocaches containing food, which is a surprisingly huge number of geocaches. Significantly less of the planet's population, really an insignificant fraction in comparison with ants, are muggles. Muggles also are not officially noted as having logged a single find on a geocache, and are encouraged to not inhabit the pants of geocachers.
And on this fine northwest winter day, we find a certain muggle enjoying a cup of poorly steeped tea in his kitchen, when he sees what he suspects is a prowler in his backyard.
You there! Hello! Can I help you? You are in my yard, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just looking for...
Looking for what? You know what? Just please leave.
Yes, of course. One more moment.
No, not one more moment. Get out of my hedge. Go away. People just keep getting weirder and weirder. And it's only Tuesday.
Later on that day, into Chris's kitchen comes his good friend Jim. Jim is appearing somewhat distracted, yet is still maintaining his trademark level of enthusiasm and biting sarcasm.
Chris, great to see you. You look annoyed.
There was a person in my yard this morning. They were poking around my hedge. I told him to leave, and he just kept messing around until I finally chased him off. I can't believe people these days. They just keep getting weirder.
Yes. Yes, it does seem to be Tuesday. How about that? So, how's your tea? Good? Yes?
It's fine. Well, actually, it isn't. Why are you asking me that? What are you up to?
Up to? Me? Oh, nothing at all. I need you to come with me.
Oh, no. I'm not leaving this house. If there's weirdos poking around in the cedar hedges. What are you doing with that thing?
It's a GPSR. I'm just looking something up, but I do need you to come with me.
A GP, what? No. I'm not leaving. Today is starting to get very odd, and it's only Tuesday. My house will get broken into. Who knows what these people are capable of?
DNF, needs maintenance, DNF. Apparently they aren't capable of finding things or writing a complete sentence, that's what. Okay, grab a towel and let's go.
It was at this point Chris experienced a human communications phenomena where the conversation exceeds the point of diminishing returns, and instead of the parties choosing to reach a negotiated settlement, one simply allows himself to be subject to an irrational whim of their friend, who is behaving rather oddly, in the hopes that they are perhaps on their way to a surprise party or some other pleasant, unexpected engagement. This assumption, of course, is completely false and unfounded, and Chris's life is about to take a turn he would have never seen coming, much like an ant enjoying a leisurely stroll up the pant leg of a life.
Where are we going?
I want to show you something. I think it'll help explain things. Well, perhaps it won't. Well, not right away. But we're going anyhow. You've got your towel, right?
Yeah, yes, I have a towel. Why do I have a towel?
Oh, my goodness. Always have a towel when you go caching.
Caching?
I mean, there's the whole debate about GPS versus smartphone and what TOTT is best, but nobody ever questions the towel. It's really an essential. That much is clear in the guide.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
Right. So I'm going to show you. Okay, we're here. Get out, follow me, and be quiet. Try and look like you know what you're doing. Like you belong here.
You know, we're in a parking lot. Everyone belongs here.
Okay, this way. 15, 5...
Well, what are you counting? Why are you looking at that GP ABC thing?
Here, right here somewhere. Help me start looking.
Looking for what? You know, I'm really starting to get concerned about you, Jim.
No, it has to be here. We'll know when we find it.
At this time, it's valuable to consider what the guide has to say regarding geocaches in parking lots.
Geocaches are rated by three different categories: difficulty, terrain, and accumulated favorite points. The spike in volume of lamppost and other related parking lot caches has identified the requirement of a fourth category, which is suggested by some to be likelihood of personal assault or arrest. Calls to geocaching headquarters requesting this change remain unanswered at present. Despite these criticisms, parking lot caches are known to assist streaking cachers, not to be confused with cachers who streak, another chapter later on, in keeping their numbers going with minimal effort, due to hides even a muggle could spot. Well, almost spottable by a muggle.
The electrical plate!
Sorry?
The electrical plate. Try moving that.
Whoa! It's magnetic! And there's a plastic bag with wet paper in it. That's weird.
You found it! Your first geocache. And it's an FTF.
You've lost me again.
FTF. First to find. Okay, pull out the paper. Use your towel to soak the water from it. Now, you've got a pen, right? Of course you don't. I do. Here, we're good. Now, how's the sheet? Dry enough to sign yet? Brilliant. Here, sign your name at the top. Oh, wait, no, not your name. Your caching handle. What should we call you?
I call me Chris. I'm somewhat comfortable with that.
Really? This is your chance to change that. So, Chris, then. You sure?
I'm not really sure about anything today.
Okay, write your name on that blank top line. This is very exciting. Your first FTF. Muggle no more, my friend.
There. Chris. Wait, what? I'm sorry, what was the rest of that?
You've crossed over. Welcome to the secret world of geocaching. Only there's a lot to learn, so it's probably best if you just hold on to my copy of this.
Well, The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching. Is this an ebook?
Yes. And no. It's an online, real-time, comprehensive compendium of the entirety of geocaching. Every listing, term, cacher, and otherwise associated piece of information, regardless of the lack of value, associated with geocaching. It's indispensable. Well, not like your towel, but it's also my new job.
I thought you were...
Right, well, that's what I tell everyone. In fact, I'm a field researcher for the guide. That's why all the travel lately.
Wait a minute. You're serious? The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching is an online, real-time, comprehensive compendium of the entirety of geocaching. The Guide, as it is more commonly known, has been criticized for having a name that is inaccurate, misleading, and a blatant commercial ripoff. When asked about these accusations, the publishers have been quoted as saying, "You're serious? The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching?" A response which has led some to suspect that the publishing company may not actually be aware of the guide in the first place, which, in fact, would be the ultimate coup for a geocaching guide.
Oh, yes, quite serious. Now, about the situation at your home this morning. It turns out a mystery cache has been published, without a coordinate checker, I might add, and FTF is still up for grabs on that one. I suspect that's what the odd fellow was doing in your backyard. He had a bad GZ.
Okay, hold on. Assuming most of that was in English, are you telling me there's a geocache in my backyard?
No, I'm saying we need to solve and find a geocache, and it's likely not in your backyard.
Strange. I didn't hear that at all.
Pondering this massive influx of new information, Chris accompanied Jim to a local coffee shop where Chris now anticipated his questions would be answered and all would be made clear to him. We can pardon Chris for this ridiculous assumption, as it is his first day as a geocacher. Under Jim's continual encouragement, Chris finally resorted to the guide in order to answer his questions.
What is a mystery cache?
A mystery or unknown geocache is one of the 20 defined geocache types. The name derives from the fact that either the location, the method of how to access the log inside, or both, is unknown to everyone who wishes to know. These types of geocaches are created and placed to establish an important social order in the geocaching community, determining levels of cleverness reflected by the difficulty rating of the respective mysteries and the cliques who have been able to either find the solution or coerce the answer from others. These caches are identifiable on the geocaching map by their distinctive blue question mark icons. It is important to reiterate that not all unknown geocaches are located at the coordinates on the map where the blue question mark is located, except for those that are. For more information on solving unknown or mystery geocaches, refer to our sections on puzzle solving, events, phone a friend, stalking, and physical intimidation.
That is not very helpful. And 20? There are 20 different types?
Well, kind of. It depends. The stats show 20, but some are grandfathered and some are really just minor deviations from another type, but sometimes don't even show in the list at all. Well, I mean, they do. They just fall under a different type.
Yeah, that didn't help either.
I really think you need to spend more time with the guide. But here's the thing. That mystery cache is out there, and it has to be within 2 miles of the icon. But with no coordinate checker, no hint, and this really cryptic puzzle, I just don't know what to make of it. I think we'll have to team up with an expert.
Wait, explain to me again why this is important?
The FTF! I mean, every FTF is kind of important, depending on how you like to play the game, but this one is really important.
Yeah, you know that wasn't really an explanation.
Like I said, spend more time with the guide. Maybe you're not starting simple enough.
Okay, where do you suggest I start?
Okay, there's a first section here about how to find a geocache. That'll be a good place to start. Of course, note that it's really just talking about traditionals. Oh, so maybe we should start with an overview of the 20 or so types, so you know. No, wait, that might not explain. How about this?
This has been episode 1 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching. Will Chris and Jim solve this puzzle and get the first to find? Why is the first to find so important? Will the publishers ever realize that they have a guide? What does any of this have to do with ants? Join us for the next episode to perhaps answer some of these questions, but more likely just generate more questions as we explore further with the assistance of The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to Geocaching was written and produced by Jay Kennedy and is a Caching in the Northwest production. Voice talent was provided by Chris of the Northwest, Wits and Land Monkey, and Manta Rays. For more information about this story or the Caching in the Northwest podcast, please make sure to follow us on Twitter at CachingNW and check our website at CachingNW.com. This podcast episode is copyright CC Jay Kennedy 2018, all rights reserved.
Well, that was different.
Wasn't it, though? You know what? Episode one, we're going to make available in the feed without us talking, so you can go and share that with all your friends. Of course, it will be in this episode of the podcast as well. But that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun to put that together. It took a while to get it all written and then acted out and edited and such, so... Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. That was something we promised. We were going to do something quite different, and there will be a few more episodes to continue the story and wrap it up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, thanks to the voice talents and good sportsmanship of everybody involved. that's the comment that just popped up in the chat, that was totally weird, but totally normal for Caching in the Northwest. Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Normal is just a setting on the dryer.
You're definitely right. Hey, we want to thank you all for tuning in. Now, this was a special episode of Caching in the Northwest. If you're new to Caching in the Northwest, normally we talk about, I know, sit down, geocaching in the Northwest part of North America. I know it seems really weird based on the name, but that's what we do. You know, from time to time, though, we like to pop out these special episodes, perhaps a poem for Christmas or some I want to say old time radio drama, but that doesn't fit with a podcast theme. Serialized drama presentation, as this will go on for several more episodes throughout the year. Now
I fit the old part, so
that's true.
I fit the drama part, so
there you go.
I fit the radio part.
Sure.
I guess it does.
Okay. Well, you know, video killed the radio star, but that's a different thing. Next week,
coming up.
Next week, when we resurrect the radio star, we'll get back to a normal type episode next week with Kev MacD on getting started with GSAC, because, you know, that's a little bit of an intimidating program. So we've got somebody who will help us out there. The week after that, that's January 25th, is hiding and finding winter caches.
That's right. And that will wrap up the month of January already. 2018 is well underway. And that'll take us to February. The next show will be on the 1st of February. And we'll talk about snowshoe caching. Never been on snowshoes. I'd like to get some tips and maybe I could go caching the first time I go snowshoeing. It would be a great thing. Week later, February 8th, would be Winter Games and Geocaching, the Winter Olympics edition. Da-da-da.
Can you believe it's time for the Winter Olympics again?
I know.
I can't believe it. I've been waiting for 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. It will be fun. Well, and again, you know, as we wrap up the show and get ready to head into the after show, we want to thank our faithful Denali-level supporters. That's Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. Folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, remember that you can click on the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. Now, each and every one of our patrons is important to us, and we want to celebrate you all by having me read your names on the podcast right now. So, thank you very much to Subway Mark, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Akerdoc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, and Sprouter. Got through it.
I think we ought to get a couple more supporters with incredibly long and difficult to say names just to see what Land Monkey will do.
Yes, if you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up under a really ridiculous and long and hard to pronounce name.
So that I can fall over sideways.
But if you want to contact any of us, we go by, well, fairly normal names. Normal being in quotes compared to referencing the earlier comment about weird but totally normal. And if somebody would like to contact the weird but totally normal Land Monkey, where would they find you, sir?
Well, you know, the website's landmonkey.blogspot.ca, and where you'll find us most active and most often is, it's right back here, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope, at landmonkeygc. Follow us. We promise there will be something interesting every week. All right, and on Facebook, it's Team Land Monkey, and of course, on YouTube, Land Monkey, LANMONKEY. Wits End, my friend, where do people find you on those inner tubes?
Well, you could find me at Wits End on Twitter, Facebook, geocaching, and most other social media platforms, regardless of how Facebook restructures themselves. I hope. We'll see. And it will not be as written as in Vogue on Poetry, as somebody in the comments just said. Chris of the Northwest, sir, how about you?
But I like Vogue on Poetry.
You would.
Okay. Look for me anywhere you can find Caching NW. That could be Facebook. That could be Google Plus. Yeah, I know. It still exists. Or it could be Twitter. Better yet, head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts and read the bios and find all those links that we just mentioned. Because we know you were driving and you couldn't have an opportunity to write it down. And that's okay. We said all this. But most of all, we want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. You can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask a question, or send us a pangalactic gargle blaster any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Also, your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like the show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. This show is produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris Jay and Jim Paulwitz. This show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And we encourage, we implore you to stay for
the after show.
The after show. What is the after show?
What is the after show?
The after show is a time where we are a little less formal. We want to just talk with those who happen to be with us in the chat this evening. If you wanted to mention something to be brought up in the after show, all you have to use is the hashtag FATAS in the chat, and we're going to talk about it. So, in fact, I have to start looking right now.
Well, didn't you have some email that came in that you
did. Could one of you, I was distracted during the thing. I've got some of the FATAS, but not all of it.
Here, well, while Chris gathers FATAS, I will read the email that came in this past week.
Okay.
So it's an email that came in from PTLD 2016. And if you recall, a good friend here, Wits End, read the log from PTLD 2016 as our glow last week.
I do remember that.
Yeah. What I read here is, Chris, thanks for reading my log last week. And Wits End did such a great job of reading it.
Oh, interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. Interestingly enough, it was perfect timing too. I just made a major push to complete a personal challenge on finding lonely caches in 2017. And this was the log for my first lonely cache of 2017. So it was a wonderful way to look back at where it started. Thanks again, PTLD 2016.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So, looks like we got all kinds of cool FATAS stuff in here.
Yes. So, FATAS, or for the after show, starts with Keats Morton this evening. Should have asked Rock Chalk last week regarding writing up a description for a cache. When I save the cache to work on it later, I noticed I have to be an HTML expert to continue editing. I'd love to know why it goes into the old style page instead of staying on the new description write-up page. Oh.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have often wondered that myself. And so I think what we'll do is we will take that question, Keats, because I don't know the answer to it.
Oh, because.
Because is the answer that we're going to give you right now. That's our placeholder answer. It's like, hey, put a pin in that. We're going to get back to you.
But go ask your mother.
Go ask your mother. please ask your mother and let us know what she says.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I will personally promise I will take that question and I'm going to shoot it over to Rock Chalk and see what he says.
Nice.
I think that's a great question. And I think the answer is going to be because. Mm-hmm. Knowing Rock Chalk.
It could be.
All right. What else we got going on?
Next we have Wet Coaster that talks about the... isn't that the poetry?
Mm.
The Eccentric Golumbits? No, it's not.
That is something we probably shouldn't mention on a family podcast.
Correct.
It is a character from the original trilogy who works in the oldest profession.
See, I need to go back and read this.
As a uniquely identifiable torso, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, just like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Total Recall movie.
yes.
There you go. And you're welcome.
Okay, yes. Team Finn. Team Finn has a geometry test tomorrow.
There we go. Switching gears.
So when you find X, circle it and write out, I found X. X is right here.
Yeah.
That's all they're looking for.
Pretty much.
That helps. And when you get your paper back that has a big X on it in red.
But I found X. That's all you asked for.
You could thank Chris for that. Mm-hmm. All right. Ooh, we've got a curling debate going on at some point here in the hashtag Patas.
How can we have a curling debate?
Should curling be on TV at times other than the Olympics, other than on CBC? And it is on channels other than the CBC. Some of the other Canadian sports channels will play curling during the big Bond spiels. Curling, I think, is an underrated sport. So I know a lot of people give curling a hard time. But having actually curled, I can tell you, it is not nearly as easy as it looks when you watch people. There is a level of athletic technique required to be able to actually play that game properly.
Hmm.
I don't think it looks easy myself, but
yeah, just trying to get out of the hawks and get that rock to go relatively straight down the ice and not just immediately go off to the side, and to actually go forward with enough weight to get down to the end of the ice, but not so much weight that it just goes sailing through, is actually quite a skill. So I am more in awe of curlers having tried it than I was prior to that. There you go.
Okay. Keats Morton replies, a comedian, Ron James, once said, curling isn't a sport. It's more of a blood cult.
Yes.
Yep. Just a huge frozen game of coconut. You know what? Funny that... Paul writes that in there because I recently saw a YouTube video and I wish I could find it quickly, but probably if you YouTube curling and crokinole, you'll find it, of people who actually made curling into crokinole. They actually cut a big hole in the ice so that and they didn't use the proper rocks, but so the rock would sort of drop into the hole and we're playing it like crokinole. It's quite amusing.
Interesting. Starcasher says there is a curling puzzle cache nearby him. Now, he happens to be in Ohio, so.
It's a bit of a drive, but, you know.
Yeah.
But I went to Montana for the weekend, so.
And you're going to hit 1,000 caches in the next 2 or 3 days. You may as well drive to Ohio.
Oh, that was awesome. What a great road trip that was. But we can talk about that later.
All right.
What else have we got going on? Kev MacD shares, Although currently disabled for repairs, he has a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy cache. He does. It actually is definitely worth checking out if you are planning to come up into that area. GC4PG16.
Oh, it's PG.
Yeah.
PG16.
Yeah. Wait. Unlike this podcast, which is not PG-16, although it got really close about 5 minutes ago.
Thanks, Wet Coaster.
Nice. Wet Coaster says Kevin Coe is a curler, is a twin of Rock Chalk. Interesting.
I wonder if Rock Chalk knows that he has a long
I don't know.
Twin.
Mm. Now, CRS98 says, did you know that the Alien Telescope Array, SETI, has 42 dishes? In homage to the guide?
I did not know that, but I think that's very cool. Yeah. And it doesn't really surprise me either.
That's cool. Yeah, SETI. SETI used to be in the news a little more often than it is these days. I wasn't sure if that was still an ongoing thing.
Still a thing? Yeah. When they did, remember the SETI at home? Mm-hmm. When you ran basically a screensaver, used your computer's...
Crowdsourcing processing power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they were thinking they would get some breakthrough, and you know what they've gotten? Bupkis.
Hey, can you say that on the podcast?
Oh, no. Sorry. Zilch. Zero.
Maybe just in the after show.
Okay.
All right. We'll try and keep the after show safe for your kids. And if your kids are up at 9:30 at night, maybe the after show isn't your biggest problem.
Columbus free.
You know what the answer to the question is? 42.
Yeah, what's the question?
That's the problem.
Oh. IHAM says congratulations to Land Monkey on his 12,000th cash find and to Monkey Cakes for her 2,400th, which is exactly 20% of the Land Monkeys.
Congratulations, Monkey Cakes. That is an awesome accomplishment, finding 2,400 caches. I think if you take a look at the number of people who geocache, and I think the average find total is well under 1,000. So
yeah,
getting up over 1,000 for anybody, I think, is a great accomplishment. You know, you don't have to be crazy insane about it like Mrs. Land Monkey and I
puts you in rarefied air,
but you know what, we absolutely love doing it. We love doing it together, so we just do a lot of it.
That's right.
It's great.
Bounce says we should do a hockey event. Now, Bounce, are we looking at an event where we go watch hockey or where we play hockey?
I will participate in an event where we play hockey, but I don't know about my co-hosts.
I used to on the frozen lakes in Ohio growing up.
There you go.
Oh, he says we should play hockey and not just watch hockey.
Maybe we'll start with a road hockey game and take it from there. See how it goes.
Is that with road apples?
No, okay. That is a different sport.
Oh, yeah. No, we would just grab a flat rock because, you know, we lived out in the country. We'd have the puck, but, you know, somebody would hit it too hard and lose it into a snowbank.
Yeah.
You'd see the little square entry hole, and you could never dig deep enough to find it.
I was saying, you'd find it in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where the puck is.
The shoreline of the pond is just all pucks.
Look at these oddly uniform rocks all around this pond.
That's hilarious. That Bounce is offering some extra hockey gear there. Thank you. Very kind. Well, speaking of which, okay, so this reminds me of something I watched on the news the other night that I thought was super cool. Not geocaching related at all. It's hockey related and tech related. So there's this guy in Montreal who's a goalie and not professional. Well, I guess there's a caveat on that. But plays rec hockey and just loves being on the ice and playing hockey, being a goalie. Now, anybody who's played hockey knows the goalie is, without a goalie, you pretty much don't have a game.
Right.
And the goalie's hard to come by because not a lot of people have all the equipment to play goalie, and not a lot of people want to stand at one end of the ice and have people hit a frozen piece of rubber at them as hard as they can. So, you know, it's a rare thing. So what this guy did is he developed an app. It's kind of like a dating app, but it's to find goalies for your game. So if you got a game coming up and you don't have a goalie, you can go on this app and you can find a goalie. You can set your different criteria of where you are and when the game is and what kind of game it is, like the level of expertise in the game, or competitiveness, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And it'll give you up a list of what goalies are available, and you can try and contact them and have them out for your game.
So it's Tinder for goalies.
It's Tinder for goalies. There you go.
Swipe
nice.
Right.
I thought that was super cool.
Swipe left.
And the goalie, I think it's in order to use the app, every time you successfully recruit a goalie for a game, it costs $40. So, you know, everybody in the team ponies in a few bucks and you get $40. And half the money goes to the guy who runs the app and half the money goes to the goalie. So the goalie who plays gets $20 for, you know, making the effort to come out and join your game. And I thought that was cool.
Nice. Cliff, there was no glow tonight. We did a little different show, just setting the mood for the drama that followed. We didn't want to out-drama the drama.
There you go. There will be a glow again next week.
Yes. We're not dropping the glow. We just decided not to do one this evening.
But thank you for noticing.
Dora Moore says, they don't play for free. They play for free dental work.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Kevin MacD says, goalies are crazy. Standing in front of a flying puck and moving in its way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we've got some folks plus wanting for road hockey. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to see what we can line up over the next while.
You know, it'd be a lot of fun is if we could play, you know, hockey and use the center line as the border between the United States and Canada.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Now, neither of us would be able to cross center ice, but.
Right.
A game of slap shots from the blue line. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
And then there was the forgettable TV series, Rent-A-Goalie.
That was forgettable. I'd completely forgotten about that. Thanks, White Coaster.
I never knew Rent-A-Goalie.
No.
It was a show. It was a thing.
I'm sure it was right up there with Hello, Larry.
Probably. Something else I had forgotten about.
Who's Larry? Why are we greeting Larry?
There you go.
McLean Stevenson, I think.
Really?
I could be wrong about that. The name just popped in my head, but our research department will find out.
There you go. Hello, Larry.
TV show Hello, Larry. Did it last more than one season?
I don't even recall it, so I don't know.
It had a catchy theme song.
GeoNav Pro says you can't cross the center line. That's okay. You be the goalie.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Kev MacD caught that one. There you go. Nice.
Thanks, Kev Mac.
Although the times when the goalies do cross the center line is always highly memorable.
Why is that?
Because that usually means the goalies are fighting.
Oh.
And goalies fighting is something to see, I got to say.
Goalies to go, the number one Canadian rent-a-goalie service.
There you go. Awesome.
Oh.
So, according to Wikipedia, Hello, Larry lasted 2 seasons.
Okay. And was it McLean Stevenson? Now I wonder.
Well, I'm sure we'll know momentarily.
And yeah, 3 years for Rent-A-Goalie. So Rent-A-Goalie lasted longer than Hello, Larry.
But Hello, Larry. Okay, yeah.
Just saying.
This is why we have the after show, folks. Because, you know, it's completely geocaching related topics that we talk about. No.
At one point there were.
Yeah, we kind of started off with, you know, something like geocaching, and then we've gone down to Hello, Larry, and Rent-A-Goalie.
McLean Stevenson, there you go. What brain cell was that stored in?
And is it still there?
Oh, it's locked in now.
the synapses are hardwired now. Oh, man.
So that will be the trivia question in 3 years. And we'll see if Wits End can still answer it.
Yeah, GeoNav Pros, hashtag FatasGlow. As we mentioned earlier, Glow, not tonight. We're going to have another one next week. Kev MacD picked up a hockey geocoin and brought it to work at the Canucks game. Yes, you did. I remember seeing that. That was very cool. I'm sure the coin owner was over the moon at that, because as I recall, the photo wasn't just taken in a regular seat. That was pretty cool.
Nice. Right. Could you just get a geocoin made that's entirely black and call it a puck geocoin?
Sure you could. That sounds like a really good use of money.
Yeah, exactly. We want the dull black finish if you can.
Yeah. In fact, can you manufacture it out of rubber? In fact, I'm just going to go buy a hockey puck and put a trackable number on it.
Well, we could start off geopucks.
Geopucks.
I like.
Yeah. We'll just carve in a trackable number and sell you a trackable geopuck.
There you go. Or, you know, we could sell geopucks used in actual caching in the Northwest hockey games.
Oh, road hockey games.
There you go. Yeah.
If you want one that's three times the price, folks, but, you know, eight times the price if you want one that was actually scored.
That, there you go. Know,
actually was in the net. Let's see. CRS98 says, I also have an Australia Day event, 6:30 to 7:30 at Alderwood Mall in Lynnwood. Cool. Now, nice. Cliff, is that just anywhere in the mall? We all just show up and hopefully we come to the right spot?
That's funny. Or look at your geocaching map and...
Oh, yeah. That would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Never mind. So he says he also has one. So somebody else mentioned it. Oh, there we go. Team Finn. Our Australia Day event was just submitted. Join us Friday, January 26th from 5 to 7 in Maple Valley.
Just anywhere in the valley?
Just published. Be the first to will attend.
There you go. Kev MacD has a Signal the Frog Goes to Australia event. GC7GZ4H. Sunday the 28th, 1:30 to 2:30. Down Under, the shelter in Queen's Park in New Westminster.
Oh, nice.
A little more specific location there.
CRS98 says it's in the fireplace in the food court. That sounds cozy.
I think it's at the fireplace, not in the fireplace.
Oh, wait.
Please do not attend the event in the fireplace.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. It's at the
fireplace. That's where the bison tube will be.
All right. Hey, Keats.
You actually sign a log. It's a burning log, but you sign the log. Oh,
hey,
sorry, go ahead.
I'm docking here. Keats says tomorrow will be day 100 of his geocaching streak. So congrats, Keats. That's nice. Awesome. Are you going to go for 366 or, you know, 1,000 or just never stop?
I'd like to say something, but I can't.
You can talk now.
Okay. I apologize. That was rude of me to speak over you. Okay, so CRS98 says his event is GC7 Golf Yankee Alpha 7. It's hard to read when it keeps moving up on me.
It's tricky.
Cashers on the Barbie.
No. That sounds not appetizing. Unless cashers mean something other than people who geocache.
No, that's it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's everybody who's under 1,000, so they don't count. Isn't that what you said earlier?
I never said that.
I'm sorry, did I take you out of context?
Yes, you're misquoting me. It's not even out of context, you're just misquoting me. It's different.
Although he did throw down a challenge this week to find 1,000 in a year.
Well, I did.
Yes.
And it was fun, the response that elicited.
No, it was not fun.
I think my first 1,000 took me 14 years or something like that. So
there you go. I later commented to some of my friends that Brylang and I probably shouldn't be allowed to be on Twitter together because we seem to just incite people. It was kind of fun, though. Dora Moore says she knows where you can get Tim Tams on sale this week. Do you guys know what Tim Tams are?
Yes, we have them down here.
Okay. Yeah. I think they've been up here for quite a while, but they've only become popular in the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so up here. And I was introduced to them when I was working with Australians at the Olympics. And I was like, you've never heard of Tim Tams? Except they said it more Australian, and they didn't say mate at the end or anything. So.
Do they put Vegemite on the Tim Tams?
Ew.
And then put the whole thing on the Barbie?
No.
Oh, I was trying to put all the Australian memes together into one.
That's not a Tim Tam.
That's a Tim Tam.
Where, I can't remember where I know Tim Tams from. Was it from Africa? But that doesn't seem right, because it's chocolate and they would have melted there.
There you go.
I was excited. Yeah, our local store carried them about 6 months ago for the first time, and I was like, oh, Tim Tams? And why, I don't know.
No, they're not bad. They're,
no, no, I mean... I'm
a good cookie?
Yes.
All right. Well, what do you think?
I think we have...
The after show
it up.
All right. Well, you guys over there in the chat. I was thinking, what do we call this? It's called a chat.
Yeah,
thanks for hanging out for the after show, and we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. It was different as promised. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if any other geocaching podcast has done a serialized radio drama. I don't think so. I think we're the first. I'm just going to say we're the first.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Prove me wrong.
That's right. Now, we've done radio dramas type before. Christmas a couple of years ago.
Yep.
That was nice. But it was only one episode. So this is going to be ongoing, which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, you guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you're listening to us, downloaded and in your car or hanging out at the bus stop or at work, listening to us instead of working, thank you. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to us ramble.
Very much.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.